he's made a special study of the colonial revolution in Latin America, not just from books, but by making two extensive trips there in 1962 and 1964. Livio Mancan.
First of all, I want to say to you that I am fully conscious that my English is very bad, but I prefer anyway to speak English to save time. I want to deal a few words, first of all, on the question of the Cuban strategy against imperialism. Comrade Pierre Franck already mentioned the fact that the Cuban leadership expressed this strategy in some speech by Fidel Castro and in the last matches by Che Guevara, calling for the formation of 2-3 more Vietnams. What is the real meaning of this strategy? I think that it is very clear, extremely clear, especially for us. But I think we must recall when this strategy was elaborated by the Cubans. If my memory is good, it was exactly for the first time in one speech by Fidel Castro in January 66, the first times they expressed. Then, at that time, the Vietnamese War, of course, had already started. And at the same time, the 65 year was the year of the San Domingo the uprising and the repression by the American imperialism. The international situation, from the standpoint of the revolutionary movement, was not favorable in a specific sense. Of course, it remained favorable in a historical sense, but in a specific sense, it was not so favorable. Because we had, of course, this the episode of San Domingo, where the American imperialism succeeded in crushing the uprising of San Domingan masses. But at the same time, in October 65, we had the reaction in Indonesia, the military coup d'etat by Suharto in Indonesia. And 1 year before, we had the big defeat of the mass movement in Brazil, in Latin America. And I think you remember very well that in some sectors of the revolutionary movement too, not to speak in general broad mass movement, there was some mood of demoralization, because the imperialism, for the first time since many years, got some real success. It succeeded in defeating the revolutionary movement, I repeat once more, in very big country, as Indonesia and Brazil, where a very strong mass movement had existed during many and many years, where the organized working class party, organized working class trade unions had played during some decades a very big role. And you remember other the development, in unfavorable demand, the development has the coup d'etat in Algeria, and to some extent, of course, is not the same thing as the coup d'etat in Indonesia and the defeat in Brazil, but anyway, it was an unfavorable development in Algeria, and the coup d'etat against Nkrumah in Ghana. And during all this period, the answer by the worker state, as Comrade Pierre Franck has already mentioned, and the reaction of the revolutionary movement were extremely weak. In reality, There were no answer, of course, with the only decisive exception of the Vietnamese people. And the working class movement and the mass movement in the world seemed to be faced with a choice, a very difficult choice. Either to ask to the worker state to take some steps and to risk a nuclear war, or to accept passively the victory of the imperialism in several countries, in several regions of the world. You know very well that the partisans of the so-called peaceful coexistence still are trying to exploit this objective difficulty for a revolutionary strategy to support their own conception. Their own conception, which everybody knows today, but which was expressed especially by Khrushchev in the early 60s. And later on, this strategy is not basically changed, of course. According to this strategy, essentially, the historical fights between imperialism and socialism will be decided basically by the economic competition, by the economic victory of the Soviet Union and the worker state on the imperialist economy. Of course, if this assumption is true, it follows that it is necessary to avoid any partial and general wars during an whole historical period to save this opportunity, to give to the Soviet Union the possibility to gain the battle on the economic fields. And the whole strategy of the working class movement in the entire world must be subordinated to this need, to preserve the framework of this peaceful competition on the economic field, and of course the victory in some colonial, former colonial countries can help the final victory of socialism on imperialism, but it will not be the basic factor. This was, in a few words, the strategy expressed openly by Khrushchev, but the strategy which already existed before Khrushchev, it is still continuing after Khrushchev. This strategy is highly unrealistic, because we are living in an explosive historical period where it is impossible to break the revolutionary movement. It is impossible to avoid that the revolutionary movement starts in every corner of the world. And I think that the Cuban strategy is the real answer, the only real existing answer to the strategy of the peaceful coexistence, of the economic competition. Of course, basically, it is, the alternative of the world revolution. World revolution against peaceful coexistence. This is the real choice. There are no third solution. If you accept the framework of the peaceful coexistence, of course, you don't help the revolutionary movement. You don't fight for the armed struggle everywhere. You are for peaceful transition to socialism. You are for peaceful relationship, for negotiation on everything with imperialism, with the capitalist count. This follows very logically from the general conception. But I think the very experience, leaving aside what could be already the conviction of the ideology, the theoretical understanding of the Marxist revolutionary parties, the very experience demonstrated very clearly that the peaceful coexistence was impossible, objectively impossible, and the only practical result was that the action by the imperial limit was facilitated. The Cuban understood very well, that the only way to avoid the...
Not an argument in good faith. I think if you listened to my report here, far from being pessimistic, I ended by enumerating all the reasons why, in the objective conditions of the metropolitan countries, contradictions of a social, economic and political nature make the struggle for socialist revolution in these countries possible. To say that that is pessimistic is really bad faith and falsification. The only point I made, and on that point, Comrade Knight, you can talk for 1,000 hours, you will not bring anybody who is in good faith away from it, that today you have no revolutionary fight in Britain. That you know very well. Today you have no revolutionary situation. And to say, today you have no revolutionary situation, and to say that in order to create a future revolutionary situation, on which everybody agrees, there is no disagreement on that, to say that in order to create a future revolutionary situation, you should go away, shy away from the specific task of defending the revolution which goes on, that is what I called before escapism. That's the position of the Russian Mensheviks who were speaking about revolution in England. They were speaking about revolution in England and about revolution in Germany. They were speaking about... If you did not say that, if you did not say that, then you must admit that the task of defending the Vietnamese revolution is a specific task for the British workers today, separate from the fight against the income policy. Okay, they are separated in fact. They are separated in fact. If you don't understand that, that means that you do not accept it and that you do not want to fight that fight. That you talk. In France, we have a very concrete example. There was a big demonstration. There was a big demonstration of 10,000 people for defense of the Vietnamese revolution, and the friends of Comrade Knight were demonstrating there, shouting, "Long live the workers of Caen!" That is to say, they opposed the defense of economic struggles of the working class to the defense of the colonial revolution. That is the concrete consequence of this kind of rubbish which Comrade Knight here puts.